Well, hello and welcome. You've checked into the Newport Storytellers podcast, episode 7, and we are your hosts, Jackie Caron
and Matt McArthur. Our audio adventure is recorded and edited on the traditional lands of the Bunurong, and we acknowledge their unbroken connection to country that has long been mapped by story, song and dance.
And we pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and to the elders of all nations, and to the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders who may be listening. This podcast is a collection of stories, interviews and songs recorded, if not in Newport, then close by.
Now, Jackie, I'm just going to stop you there. There are a few Newports out there, so to be clear, we're talking about the Newport in Victoria, Australia, situated west side of the Birrarung or Yarra River, about 12 kilometres from the Melbourne CBD, or Nara.
Thank you for that, Matt. I am frequently directed by Google to the Newport in New South Wales when making plans, and although it looks like an interesting place, we are not there, we are here. And the contributors to our podcast, if not in the 3015 postcode, are either close by or they are supporters of our regular storytelling and music gatherings that take place under the broad wings of the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club.
So, Jackie, it's been a while since we put our heads together to create the first 6 episodes of the Newport Storytellers podcast. And progressing through our days feels very stop-start as we recalibrate what we can and cannot do in the light of circulating and mutating viruses. And in a moment of enthusiasm, we decided to make another 4 episodes to round out the series to a satisfying 10.
We did decide to do this, Matt. However, we're doing things a little differently this time. Many of the stories in the earlier eps were harvested from an archive of live recordings. However, for this round, we recorded most of the stories and even some of the music in my sunroom. Thank you, Cameron Sharp from Loosh Budgie Productions. We've also dropped our History in a Nutshell segment. Much as we loved creating the mini histories, they're a lot of work. And while we had oodles of time during the COVID lockdowns, now life is getting busy again and we have to cut our coat according to the cloth we have.
Fair enough, Jackie. And we should let those familiar with the format know that Alan Davies, our music scout, has passed the scouting on to us. At the time of collating these episodes, Alan was preparing for an overseas adventure. Big boots to fill, but we shall do our best. Thanks, Alan, for all the interviews and songs you've gathered for us in the previous episodes. So what's the plan for Ep 7?
Ah, the plan, Matt, the plan. Well, for this episode, we're kicking off with Em Chandler, a regular at our storytelling gatherings. Em has an ever-growing repertoire of fabulous traditional folk tales. Following Em is local singer-songwriter Carmen Parsons. In every episode, we aim to feature a singer with an original song, and we're delighted that Carmen has agreed to us playing one of hers. Then we have Danny Bushler-Scott, who will be sharing a folktale from Austria in both German and English. And Dharma. Well, no Newport podcast would be complete without a song from Dharma, but more of that later.
Time to dive in then. First up, Em Chandler. Em is a magician, storyteller and theatre maker living and working on Wathaurong country. Em is going to launch into a traditional trickster tale from England, and following the story we hear you, Jackie, in conversation with Em. Here's Em with a story said, not read, as stories were, once upon a time, always shared.
In the town of Headley on a Hill in Northumberland, England, there was once a little tumble-down cottage. And in that little tumble-down cottage, there once lived a little old woman. Now, this little old woman didn't have very much to her name, so each day she would head into the town and do odd jobs for the other villagers to earn her living. She might sweep their floors or dust their shelves or stir their pot of stew, and occasionally, very occasionally, she'd earn more than a penny or two for her troubles. Now, one evening after a long day's work, the little old woman was heading down the road back to her little tumble-down cottage when she noticed something. She saw a great big cast-iron pot sat in a ditch by the side of the road.
Oh my! Who would leave a great big cast-iron pot like that by the side of the road? There must be something wrong with it.
So the little old woman looked over the pot. She looked for a crack. She looked for a dent, she looked for a blemish or bruise, but there was nothing wrong with the pot.
There must be something terrible inside,
said the little old woman as she carefully took the lid off. But when she looked inside, she found that the great big cast iron pot was filled with hundreds of solid gold coins as yellow as butter.
Well, I'll be. How lucky am I? With all this, I can buy fine clothes and a rich house and live happily to the end of my days and still give to the poor. This is just wonderful.
Now, the little old woman was not very strong, but she was very smart. So she took her shawl off her shoulders and tied it around the great big cast iron pot before dragging it down the road. She dragged it and dragged it and dragged it before finally stopping to catch her breath. The little old woman couldn't help but grin when she thought of the treasure wrapped up in her shawl. But when she went to check on it, she found that the great big cast iron pot filled with hundreds of gold coins, yellow as butter, was gone. And instead, in her shawl, were several lumps of silver that shone like stars in the sky.
Well, I'll be. How lucky am I? Oh, this is worth almost as much as the gold coins and much easier to store. This is just wonderful.
The little old woman wrapped her shawl around the load and dragged it behind her. She dragged it and dragged it and dragged it before finally stopping to catch her breath. The little old woman couldn't help but grin when she thought of the prize wrapped up in her shawl. But when she went to check on it, she found that those lumps of silver that shone like the stars in the sky were gone. Instead, wrapped up in her shawl were several chunks of iron, dim and dark.
Well, I'll be. How lucky am I? Oh, this will be much easier to sell at market come Tuesday and much less likely that my neighbours are going to try and steal it from me. This is just wonderful.
The little old woman wrapped it up inside her shawl and dragged it behind her down the road. She dragged it and dragged it and dragged it before finally stopping to catch her breath. The little woman couldn't help but smile when she thought of the riches wrapped up in her shawl. But when she went to check on it, she found that those lumps of iron dim and dark were gone. And instead, wrapped up in her dirty shawl, was a smooth, round stone.
Well, I'll be. How lucky am I? Oh, it can prop open my door to let in the summer breezes, and I can rest my feet on it by the fire after a hard day's work. Oh, this is just wonderful.
The little old woman wrapped the stone up in her shawl and dragged it behind her down the road. She dragged it and dragged it and dragged it before finally stopping to catch her breath outside her little tumble-down cottage. The little woman couldn't help but chuckle to herself when she thought of what was wrapped up in her shawl, but when she went to check on it, she found that the low in her shawl bumped, and then it bounced, and then it wriggled, and then it giggled, and out from within her tattered and torn shawl sprang a most unusual creature. It had knobbly knees and a turned-out toes and a poisonous wart at the end of it. No, sorry, that's the gruffalo. It wasn't a gruffalo, but it did have knobbly knees and long floppy ears and a mischievous smile that stretched on for years. And the little old woman stared in surprise into the big, wide eyes of the Hedley Cow. The Hedley Cow, the most tricksome boggle known in the entire town. Everyone in Hedley-on-a-Hill had had a trick or a prank or a joke played on it by this mischievous creature. But no one, absolutely no one, positively no one had ever seen it. And now the little old woman was staring right at it. And before the little old woman could say anything, the Hedley Cow jumped into the air, clicked its hooves and ran down the road quick as and be, giggling like a schoolchild until finally it vanished on the horizon.
Well, I'll be. How lucky am I? Oh, I thought I had a pot full of gold coins, and then I thought I had those lumps of silver, and then I thought I had that iron, and then I thought I had that stone. But no, no, no. All this time, I had the Hedley Cow trapped in my shawl. This is just wonderful. Imagine what everyone will say when I tell them the story. And the next day, that's exactly what the little old woman did. She told everyone who had an ear to listen the story of how she, a little old woman who had very little to her name, had caught the Headley cow in her shawl. And the next day she told everyone else. And the next day she told everyone else. And she did this day after day after day after day until finally she told the story to me. And now I've told the story to you.
Thank you, Em. I so love your storytelling. I love the stories that you choose to tell, and I love the way that you tell them. Could you tell us a little bit about that story and perhaps tell us also why you chose it?
Absolutely. So it's called The Headley Cow, unsurprisingly, because it's about the Headley Cow. And I got it from, I think it's Joseph Jacob's Moore English Fairy Tales. It might be his English Fairy Tales. I can't remember. I should know, but I can't.
Okay, we can check that.
We can check that.
We put links at the when we put the podcasts up, we put links. So
terrific. So we can link to the correct book, but it was certainly the version I used from Joseph Jacobs, who was an Australian Jewish folklorist who moved to England when he was 18, and then became fascinated by the fact that, you know, we had Grimm's, there are German fairy tales, and Charles Perrault for French fairy tales, but there was no like collection of English fairy tales, mm-hmm. and so he set himself up as, I'm going to be the guy who does that.
So Joseph Jacobs, we're talking late 1800s.
Late 1800s into early 20th century.
Early 20th century.
Yeah.
And Em, you have a very interesting life. You're not storytelling isn't all you do. I know you also do magic, but you're also a little bit of the academic inside you. Can you, what would you like to talk about first? Would you like to talk about the magic, or would you like to talk about the PhD?
Well, I can do both simultaneously. Watch my skills in crafting a story. So I started as a magician when I was 8 because I was obsessed with magic. Lots of magicians get obsessed with magic tricks as the way they start. Like they want to know how it's done. I wasn't really interested in that as a kid. I just wanted to be a witch or a fairy and do my thing. Mm-hmm. And so my mum found a magic shop that was opening in Ivanhoe at the time and went, well, we'll go and to the opening of the magic shop. And I've been a magician ever since. And I've loved magic for the 16 years I've done it, but I've always struggled with the fact that often not it's just a lot of impressive things that happen. And they can be really impressive, interesting stuff, but it's just here's a card trick and then here's a coin trick and here's
another one. Yeah.
While I'm much more interested in stories, unsurprisingly.
I just got to ask you, you know how you have these memories as a child and you don't know whether they could possibly be true? I've got a memory of going to a birthday party with my brother. And the magician made him drink this green liquid and then he made it come out his ear into a cup.
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes, it is possible.
Okay. So
you have remembered correctly.
I remembered correctly. Yeah. Okay.
So I did magic and I'm still doing magic for 16 years. And then I got to high school and fell in love with music theatre. And so after high school, decided I was going to go study that. And so I ended up moving to Ballarat to study a Bachelor of Music Theatre at the Federation University Arts Academy. Mm-hmm. And then I did honours in 2020, which was a great time to be academic because you have to sit at home and write in lockdowns. And then I kept coming back to this idea of magic and how you can put it in theatre and how some playwrights and theatre makers have used magic really well. Magicians seem to be stuck in the idea of just a magic show, as great as that medium is. And so I found different bits and bobs and thought, well, if I piece it together right, I think I can do further study on this and spoke to some people. And now I'm doing a PhD on how you put theatre into magic and magic into theatre.
Interesting. The only magic that I've sort of thought of in relation to theatre are those quick costume changes, you know, when someone walks off stage and just walks back on again and they're a completely different costume. And I know Cam, who is recording us here, Cam actually makes and designs costumes. And I remember one night at Newport Storytellers, he gave us a story on quick costume changes. It was fantastic. That's the magic that I've seen.
Absolutely. There's all sorts of things that theatre makers are very good for, using magic puppetry, costume changes, as you discussed, set, lighting. I mean, I saw Harry Potter and the Cursed Child earlier in the week, and there's lots of what's called black art. So you've got a lack of light, and so everything just vanishes into the inky blackiness. And you can use really exciting things to make people disappear and reappear or transform because you can't see them when they enter that black space. But magicians are not very good at making more interesting narrative theatre. So it's how do you reinterpret what theatre makers are already doing that's enchanting and give magicians the tools to do that.
Well, I am looking forward to reading your PhD. I am a PhD reader. So many of my friends have done them now. I've got quite used to reading them. And they're not the boring things that once upon a time we imagined them to be. They are actually fascinating windows into deep layers of study. So I'm looking forward to that. Em, thank you so much. Thank you for your story. And, thank you for coming to our recording session this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
Thanks, Em, for taking the time to share the story of the Hedley cow with us. That's cow with a K. At the time of assembling this episode, Em had just finished telling stories for the Firelight Festival, Melbourne's epic midwinter celebration that takes place at Docklands with fire pits, light shows, music, feasting, and, of course, storytelling. If you'd like to learn more about Em and the story of the Hedley cow, and even see an artist's impression of this odd animal, we've added links to the podcast page, nffc.org.au. Click on Join In and scroll down to Storytellers.
So, Matt, although we do tweak the formula, one thing that never changes is our commitment to featuring a singer, if not a singer-songwriter, from the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club. With the support of a grant from Hobsons Bay City Council, the club offered a songwriting workshop under the leadership of Greg Jenkins, and one of the participants was Carmen Parsons. Carmen Parsons grew up in Gidabal country in southeast Queensland on an alternative community with her parents and four siblings. She spent a lot of time in the creek and having adventures. For a time, her grandparents lived nearby and she enjoyed singing along while her grandmother played piano. She left to go to university and have more urban adventures, but loves to go back and enjoy the night sky and the cool, fresh water where her parents still live. She's trained in law, anthropology, and social policy, and works as an innovation manager for a not-for-profit legal organisation in Melbourne. She has two children who sometimes like to jam with her on guitar and piano. Here's Carmen with Swimming in Her Stream.
Water and adrenaline, I was born of these. Grandma dived into that pool, I'm still swimming in her stream. Swimming in her stream, swimming in her stream. Diving in, taking risks, swimming in her stream. Ideas and community, I was shaped by these. Parents raised a son at creek, floating lilos down the stream. Floating down that stream, water fresh and clean. Scraping knees, dodging trees, floating down that stream.
beautiful choice of song, Jackie, and thank you, Carmen, for allowing us to include it. If you're wondering about the top quality of the recording of Carmen's song, well, we have Martin Case to thank. A graduate of Berklee College of Music, Martin brings a swag of skills to Hobson's Bay. Through his media company, Martin Case Media Productions, Martin creates media materials and opportunities for clients, including Grammy nominee John Butcher, three-time Latin Grammy nominee Alethea Gomez. A multi-instrumentalist, Martin performs on piano, West African percussion, and all saxophones.
And since arriving to Australia in 2017, he has founded the Cherry Lake Cultural Series, promoting local talent, and Visionary Steel, an eight-piece ethno-electronica jazz ensemble. And his work has taken him to the Middle East, West Africa, South America, Indonesia, Europe, and Asia. And you can find the link to Martin's website on our podcast page.
So here we are at story number two, and we're about to hear a story in two languages. Jackie, I missed out on the recording session in your sunroom, so I can only imagine what it must have been like to be there while Danny Bushler Scott was reading this story.
Matt, languages fascinate me. I love the rhythms, the different sound shapes, the body language that accompanies different languages. It was a treat to talk to Danny, to hear a little bit about her life growing up in the Northern Hemisphere and listen to her read this story in English and German. Danny now lives on Bunurong country across the bay, southeast from us here in Newport. I hope you and our listeners enjoy this as much as I do. Here's Danny with Frau Hit.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you so much for giving up your Sunday afternoon to come and share a story with us. I'm very excited for this particular recording because we're going to hear a story in both English and German.
That's right, yes.
So your name is Daniela Büchle Scott.
Yes.
And you were born in Austria in a little village, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce this. I know you've told me, but I'm going to get it wrong. So can you say the name of the village?
The village is called Kirchberg, which is right near Kitzbühel, quite a famous ski town in the Tyrol in Austria.
Okay. So, but the story you're going to read for us, you'll be reading in English and German.
Yes, that's right. German first with a little bit of Tyrolean accent.
Yeah, that's your natural accent.
That is, yes, that's right. And then English, yeah.
Okay, so in the town where you grew up and went to school, what was the language there? Was it German with an accent or?
So we had to speak High German at school. We weren't allowed to speak our dialect. And then when we came home, we spoke our dialect. And around our friends, obviously, we just spoke dialect. But at school, we had to speak standard German.
Okay, Danny, so can you tell us the title of the story and then you can start reading it to us?
The title is Frau Hit. In alter Zeit, als das Tal um Innsbruck noch von Riesen bewohnt wurde, lebte hoch oben im Gebirge die Riesenkönigin Frau Hit. Sie herrschte über ein blühendes Reich von Feldern, Wäldern und Höfen und ihr Felsenschloss glänzte wie ein Kristall bis in die Täler herab. In the olden days, when the valley around Innsbruck was inhabited by giants, up in the mountains lived the giant queen, Frau Hit. She reigned over a realm filled with beautiful wildflowers and meadows, forests and farmsteads, and her rock castle glistened like crystal all the way down to the valley. Aber die Riesenkönigin war hochmütig und hartherzig und wurde von ihren Untertanen mehr gefürchtet als geliebt. But the giant queen was arrogant and callous and, instead of being loved, was feared by her royal subjects. Als Frau Hit eines Tages auf ihrem Pferd einen steilen Pfad hochritt, trat eine Bettlerin mit ihrem Kind an den Wegrand. One day, when Frau Hit rode her high horse up a steep path, a beggar woman stepped out from the wayside. Die arme Frau streckte der Königin bittend die Hand entgegen. Habt Mitleid, Herrin, schenkt mir ein Stück Brot für mein Kind. The poor woman reached out her hand to the queen and begged, Have mercy, mistress, gift me a piece of bread for my child. Da brach Frau Hitt einen Stein aus dem Fels, reichte ihn der Bettlerin und höhnte, da habt ihr euer Brot. Frau Hitt then broke off a rock from the rock face, handed it to the beggar woman and sneered, there is your bread. Die Bettlerin ließ den Steinbrocken zu Boden fallen und rief voller Zorn, hart wie dein Stern, hart wie ein Stein ist dein Herz, Frau Hitt, und zu Stein sollst du werden. The beggar woman let the rock fall to the ground and then shouted in anger, hard as rock is your heart, Frau Hitt, and to stone you shall turn. Die Riesenkönigin lachte nur über den Fluch, stieß die Bettlerin grob mit ihrem Ross zur Seite und tritt unbeirrt weiter empor zu ihrer Burg. The giant queen laughed about the curse, kicked the beggar with her horse and continued to ride unwaveringly up to the castle. Mitgefühl, Geduld und Zärtlichkeit kannte die grausame Frau Hitt nur für ihren kleinen Sohn. Ihn verwöhnte und verhätschelte sie sehr und erlaubte ihm alles zu tun, was er wollte. She only felt compassion, patience and tenderness for her son, whom she spoiled and pampered endlessly and allowed him to do anything he wanted. Eines Tages spielte der Junge in Begleitung eines Waldhüters im nahen Bannwald. Da entdeckte er ein besonders schönes und schlankes Tannenbäumchen und rief, das da will ich haben, daraus mache ich mir ein Steckenpferd. One day the son played in the nearby Bannwald, a protected forest, accompanied by a woodwood, a ranger. The boy discovered a particularly pretty and slim young pine tree and he shouted, that's what I want, I will make myself a hobby horse with that. Der Waldhüter aber entgegnete, lass den Baum bitte stehen, junger Herr. Den Bauern ist der ganze Bannwald heilig. Er soll ihre Höfe vor den Lawinen und Muren schützen. But the ranger countered, leave the tree, please, young man. For the farmers, the whole Bannwald is sacred. It protects their farms from avalanches and landslides. Das Riesenkind aber herrschte seinen Begleiter an. Halt den Mund! Ich bin der Sohn der Königin. Ich tue, was ich will. The giant child shouted at the ranger, shut up! I am the son of the queen. I do what I want. Wütend lief der Junge selbst zum Tännlein hin und wollte es mit aller Kraft knicken. Doch das biegsame Holz schlüpfte ihm durch die Hände, der Stamm schnellte zurück und schleuderte das Riesenkind ins Moor. Enraged, the boy ran to the small young tree himself and tried to kink it with all his might. But the flexible wood slipped through his hands and the stem flipped back and the child into the moor, the bog. Tief nass und über von schwarzem, übel riechendem Moor bedeckt, krabbelte der kleine Königssohn aus dem Sumpfloch und lief jämmerlich heulend heim zu seiner Mutter. Soaking wet and covered in black, nasty smelling mud, the boy climbed out of the swamp hole and ran, wretchedly crying, home to his mother. Frau Hitt tröstete das schluchzende Kind und befahl ihrem Diener, entkleide den Jungen und säubere ihn mit weichem Brotkrumen, damit seine zarte Haut nicht wund wird. Frau Hitt comforted the sobbing child and ordered the servant, undress the boy and clean him with soft breadcrumbs so that his soft skin doesn't get sore. Als der Kammerdiener erschrocken die Augen aufriss und seinen Ohren nicht zu trauen glaubte, schrie Frau Hitt ihn an. Hast du mich nicht verstanden? Hol die Brotkrumen aber sofort! When her servant threw open his eyes wide and couldn't believe his ears, Frau Hitt shouted at him, have you not understood me? Get the breadcrumbs now! Kaum hatte der verängstigte Diener mit der Säuberung des Königssohns begonnen, da erschütterte ein unerhörter Donnerschlag das Riesenschloss und grelle Blitze durchschnitten die Luft. just as soon as the scared servant began cleaning the queen's son, an almighty thunder rattled the castle and blinding lightning pierced the sky. Gewaltige Stein- und Schlammlawinen wälzten sich von den Bergen herab und eine entsetzliche Finsternis fiel über das Land. Gigantic stone and mud avalanches rolled down the mountain. Dreadful darkness fell over the land. Als der Himmel wieder aufklarte, war aus dem blühenden Reich der Riesenkönigin eine öde, leere Wildnis geworden. When the sky cleared again, the towering giant queen was transformed into empty, barren wilderness. Der Fluch der Bettlerin hatte sich erfüllt. Frau Hitt und ihr Riesensohn waren in graue Felsgestalten verwandelt, die für alle Zeit als steinernes Mahnmal auf der Nordkette über Innsbruck thronen. The curse of the beggar woman came true. Frau Hitt and her son were petrified, and the stony figures sit enthroned over Innsbruck as a memorial to be kind to the trees.
Well, that was pretty special. Thank you, Danny. We've added the link to Danny's website in the notes that accompany this episode, and I highly recommend, folks, that you check in on this thoughtful and gentle storyteller. So, Jackie, this brings us to the end. Now, when we began this podcast, we decided to recruit Dharma Picking for some closing songs.
We did agree on that, Matt, and for the earlier episodes, Dharma recorded several lullabies to close. However, for these four eps, we set her the challenge of recording a couple of nonsense songs for no other reason than she is the only person we know who seems to have decided to learn and perform the hilarious. We didn't quite make it to four, but we squeezed a few out of them.
The Little Blue Man was written by musical theatre lyricist Fred Ebb and composer Paul Klein and recorded by Betty Johnson in 1957. It was recorded again the following year by Doris Day, but I like Dharma's version, and yeah, it's a bit odd, but so were the 1950s.
One day as I was out shopping, you find this hard to believe. Right by my side stood this little blue man, and he timidly tugged at my sleeve.
Oh, I love you,
said this little blue man.
I love you, two bits. Oh, I love you.
He loved me, said this little blue man, and he scared me right out of my wits. So I hurried back to my apartment, and I rushed in and I closed the door. But right on my desk was this little blue man, and he started to tell me once more.
I love you,
said this little blue man.
I love you, two bits. Oh, I love you.
He loved me, said this little blue man, and he scared me right out of my wits. For weeks after that, I was haunted, though no one could see him but me. Right by my side stood this little blue man, wherever I happened to be. So one night in pure desperation, well, I climbed a rooftop in town, and over the edge I pushed that little blue man, and he sang to me all the way down.
I love you,
cried this little blue man.
I love you, two bits. I love you.
Said this little blue man, and he scared me right out of my wits. Whispered, thank goodness that's over, as I hurried downstairs. But right on the path was that little blue man, and he said with a tear in his eye,
I don't love you anymore.
Thank you, Dharma, and a shout out to people listening to this who have little ones in their lives and who live close by. Dharma can be found hosting story time for the very young at JP Books, 355 Somerville Road in Yarraville on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11 a.m. Check the links for details on our podcast page. So, Matt, that's the end of episode 7 of the Newport Storytellers podcast. What is included in episode 8 is still to be arranged.
I look forward to it. This podcast was made possible by the support of Hobsons Bay City Council through its Make It Happen grants program, and for that, we are grateful.
And we thank the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club, under whose auspices we bloom, and the storytellers and musicians who have joined us on this adventure. For more information about the storytellers and musicians, and if you haven't already, visit the Newport Fiddle and Folk Club website and go exploring for fun things to do. nffc.org.au. Please explore the links on our page. You'll find us on the club site under the menu item Join In. Scroll down and there we are, the storytellers.
The material for this episode of the Newport Storytellers podcast was recorded by Loosh Budgie Productions, Martin Case, and myself. And it's also edited by me. Our theme music, Road to Lewisburg, is kindly provided by Bruce Williams. Thanks, Bruce.
Please, if you've enjoyed listening, spread the word. Stories and music are for sharing. So how's things, Matt?
Not so bad. Shall I put the kettle on?
Ah, never say no to a cuppa.